Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Adventure. Later on, Herbert Marshall stars as the man called X. But first, it's the Academy Award Theater with an adaptation of the 1940 motion picture Foreign Correspondent. It was nominated for 6 Oscars. And we'll hear Joseph Cotten take over the role Joel McRae played on the silver screen in a CBS broadcast from July 24th, 1946.
Academy Award. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses. Techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Now, E.R. Squibb and Sons, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, bring you one of Hollywood's best-known stars, Joseph Cotten. Tonight you will hear Mr. Cotten in the exciting drama Foreign Correspondent, which was nominated for 4 different Oscars. Yes, for Best Photography, Best Original Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Production of the Year. Foreign Correspondent was nominated for the 1940 Academy Award.
Come right in, Miss Green. Put on your glasses, sit down, and take an epic. No, Miss Green, this is not to be an editorial for the Sunday edition. This is to be some notes on my lurid past. You see, before I came here to Springfield and bought this paper and became a substantial citizen, I was a reporter, Miss Green. Johnny Jones, foreign correspondent. That was long before there was even a phony war. I was sent to Europe to meet a man called Vermeer, known as the Strong Man of Holland. He had been one of the signers of a secret treaty between Holland and the Allied powers. I was to get Vermeer to talk and to tell me what was in that treaty. My wife's maiden name is Carol Fisher. Her father was head of the Universal Peace Party. I met Carol over there and fell for her like a ton. When she went down to Amsterdam with her father, I went too. There was a conference there, and I intended to kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Well, Vermeer was to be the principal speaker. I had met old Vermeer in Paris, so I didn't have much trouble nailing him when he got out of a cab in front of the conference building and started up the steps. He didn't seem very happy to see me. Why, Mr. Vermeer, how are you? We somehow seem to lose each other, sir. Don't you remember me? I'm the American reporter from New York. He seemed anxious to get away from me. He seemed not to remember me. Just then a photographer jumped out in front of him.
Hold it. Picture.
I pointed his camera at Miss Vermeer, and Vermeer's eyes got very big. Then I saw the gun in the photographer's hand. It went off then. I guess I stood there like a goon, just watching Vermeer fall. He was dead when he stopped rolling down the steps. This phony photographer dropped his camera and ran into the crowd. I ran after him. He got into a car and roared away. I look for a car, and just then my sweet Carol comes riding up in the Bentley with one of those big blonde Englishmen at the wheel. I jumped into the car, pushed Carol over, and yelled at the handsome brute. Follow that car. Quick, hurry.
Might as well humor him.
Righto.
What's the trouble? Chap shot someone?
Vermeer assassinated.
Eh?
Looks like it.
Bad show.
Couldn't be worse from his point of view. There he goes, around the corner. Don't lose sight of him.
Oh, I thought that was him. No, there he is.
No, we've lost him. Come on, faster, faster. Try and get around this car. That's good.
There he goes. He's had the luck of the devil. We might get him here.
Blow your horn.
I say, old girl, mind shoving your knees out of the way? Makes driving difficult. Ah, that's better.
Not at all. Anything I can do. Glad to help.
Guess we're catching up on him.
Shooting at us, by hat. Shattered the safety glass. Wonder whose make. Better hop into the back, old girl.
Good chauffeur we've got, Miss Fisher.
Very.
You two know each other?
Oh, I forgot.
This is Scott Folliot, newspaper man, same as you, Johnny. Correspondent of London Post. Mr. Jones, Mr. Folliot.
How'd you do? Here we are, old chap. Out in the country and very desperate, if you ask me.
Keep on his tail. He's around that curve behind the windmill.
We'll have him then, old boy. Here we go. I say, the chap in his car disappeared. Vanished.
He couldn't have.
He has.
Look at that. The sails on that windmill.
Well, quite common over here in Holland, old boy.
I could have sworn those sails were going against the wind just now.
Why don't you lie down on the wet grass, old boy, and cool off?
I'll cool off at the proper time, but first, would you do me a favor and go back and get the police?
Police? What for?
We shan't need the police. I've decided not to prosecute.
You're going to bring the police back here because our man is in there.
In where?
In that windmill.
What makes you think so?
While I'm explaining, a lot of things can happen. Will you please take my word for it and get the police? I'd go myself if I spoke the language.
What will you do?
I'll stick around here and do some snooping. I hate to seem executive, but this is serious.
That's right, old boy. You have the police. Richmond office.
There I was on a lonely flat plain with nothing but a windmill for company. Suddenly the mill stopped and the sails reversed themselves against the wind. At the same time I heard the drone of a plane. Then I knew. The reversed sails were a signal. The plane came into land. I crept up to the mill. There was a shed there, and in it, the assassin's car. I went back and into the mill. Then I heard muffled voices. I crept around some more and found a wooden staircase. I went up. There was a door with a key in it. I heard someone coming after me. I pushed backwards into the room, closed the door. I was in the transmission room, the room with the wooden gears connected with the big sail outside. I stood there listening. Suddenly, I almost jumped out of my skin. A weak voice spoke.
Come in, mister.
I whirled around, and there, tied to a ring in the floor, was Van Meer, alive.
I'm afraid you see me at a great disadvantage. I have just been given a drug of some sort. It affects the brain. They gave it to me when they moved me from. It's beginning now. I'm sorry.
But I saw you shot just now outside the conference hall. I saw it.
The man you saw shot was not I. He was a substitute who looked like me.
But why? What?
They want the world to think that I have been assassinated, to conceal the fact that I'm in their hands.
Their hands? Well, who are they?
I cannot explain. I am not certain. All that I can tell you is that they are going to take me somewhere by plane.
Van Meer's head dropped, and I jumped for the cross beam above me, pulled myself up, and lay there near the big gear. The door opened, four men came in, picked up Van Meer, and took him away. When they had gone, when the plane had died away, I got out of there fast. I came back with the cops, and they thought I was nuts. There was no assassin's car, no assassin, no plane, and no Van Meer. I laughed it off and went over to London with a big news beat in my pocket. I wanted to see Carol's father and find out if he could help me. On the night boat, I made love to Carol.
Penny for your thoughts, Johnny.
I was thinking of those guys who came into the mill and took old Van Meer away. They sounded like Nazis to me.
Oh, imagination.
Maybe, darling, maybe not. I got one good look at the leader's face and, well, it wasn't from the county Cork.
Hard being happy with the world falling apart.
The world isn't falling apart. Just government.
It's the same thing.
Well, only governments don't sit in the moonlight wearing shawls and looking beautiful.
They're certain to march into Poland.
Tomorrow, but not tonight. Look, I'm in love with you, no matter who marches where.
When you think of what may happen, love doesn't seem so important.
I don't know. It survived a lot of wars. Now, will you forget the fate of Europe for a minute? I'm in love with you and want to marry you.
I wonder what Father will say.
About what, the fate of Europe?
No, about our marriage. You did ask me, didn't you?
I've been pleading for hours.
I think he will be pleased. I'm sure he will.
Everybody will be pleased. England, America, and me too. Fisher's house in London, and I was feeling just like a guy whose daughter is about to tell her father that you want to do that serious thing. The butler opened the door, and there was my future father-in-law having breakfast with a man whose face was the face that led the guttural voices up to take Van Meer away from the mill.
Carol, my dear, what a pleasant surprise, and you didn't even wire me.
Father, I hope you don't mind us barging in like this. Johnny brought me over on a boat. Mr. Krug, how nice to see you again. Oh, but of course, you haven't met Mr. Stone.
Mr. Krug is with an embassy here.
I think I shall have to be getting along, Mr. Fisher. Shall we settle on the wording for the peace petition now or leave it till later?
Oh, we might as well clear it up now. You'll excuse us. Go right ahead, Mr. Krug, into my study.
Father, could we have just a moment? It's terribly important.
Why, certainly. I won't be long.
Witness, Fisher. Get the police quick. Van Meer isn't dead.
Van Meer isn't? Why, that's fantastic.
They kidnapped him. Then shot his double. I saw Van Meer afterward in a mill in Holland. That man, that Krug, was with him.
Krug? That's ridiculous, Johnny. We've known him.
I know, dear, but Mr. Jones says...
I tell you, I spoke to Van Meer. He told me they were taking him somewhere by plane. They must have brought him here to England.
I've always felt a little uneasy about Krug.
Mr. Fisher.
I'll keep him there.
They're coming, Mr. Krug.
Be careful, Father.
Mr. Jones has just suggested that I turn you over to the police, Mr. Krug.
Mr. Jones seems to be something of a troublemaker.
I thought you said he'd been taken care of by our agents in Amsterdam.
I thought so too, but perhaps Miss Fisher being with him caused complications. It would have been ideal if she had been in our confidence.
So deuced inconvenient his coming here. Dash it all, he's in my home.
He must be stopped.
Yes, but I always find the sordid details somewhat distasteful.
As usual, I shall endeavor to relieve you of them. You remember Rowley?
Rowley? Oh, yes. The little man who used to work in your father's stables in Austria.
I shall get Rowley. Hire him as a private detective to guard Mr. Jones.
Guard him? Very delicate of you, Krug. Very.
Known that about Fisher, but I didn't. And I took his word for it that I should wait and get a bigger story after we'd found Van Meer. Carol naturally sided with her father. She was afraid to let me go out alone, and Fisher put on his boogeyman suit and scared me, too. He sold me on the idea I needed a bodyguard, and that's how I got Rowley. I didn't get wise to him even when he pushed me in front of a truck.
Hey, you!
Somebody pushed you, sir. It was me, sir. If I tried to pull you back, you'd been caught. It was push or nothing.
My work, Mr. Rowley. Thanks very much.
After all, sir, that's what I'm here for.
Isn't it? I'm late for a date at the American Club. Here, let's take this cab. American Club driver.
I'm not certain, sir, but I have an idea that two men have just got into another cab to follow us.
Oh. I can't see any other cab.
I'm not certain, sir, but I'm sure I saw them. We might give them the slip if we go the long way around. Better stop here, sir, and we'll change cabs.
Okay, stop here, driver.
Now, sir, no use waiting for them to catch up. Our job is to give them the slip.
What? Get another cab, then.
Wait a minute, sir. We're in front of the cathedral.
Well, let's go in there.
Do you mind not going in, sir? I saw by the notice that it's a requiem mass.
Oh.
I hate to be so fussy, sir. I say. Look at the sign, sir. The lift takes you up to the tower to see the magnificent view and then the sixpence.
Well, let's go up and look at the view, then. Come on. Pretty dangerous, this low railing. Some drop, too. Oh.
You'd better be careful, sir. I was a bit scared when you leaned over just now. I was once with a chap on a bridge in Switzerland. He had a very nasty fall. Killed him stone dead. Always made me a bit nervous since.
Well, let's go down. I got a lunch date.
Don't go down yet, sir. Oh, just a moment, sir. I believe that's the horse guard from Buckingham Palace approaching, sir. A rare and unusual sight. You're in a bit of luck, sir.
Where? I can't see them.
Strike down, sir. You'll have to lean over a bit, sir.
Oh.
See them, sir?
Oh, yes, I see them now.
Quite a sight, sir, eh? Quite a sight, sir. Here you go to join them, sir.
I don't know what made me turn aside suddenly. One of those hunches. But just as I did, Roly, with his hands stretched out to push me, went hurtling by and over the rail and down to a horrible death before the crowd below. The thing that sent chills up my spine was that I knew then that Carol's father had tried to have me murdered. In my state of mind, it was like a double skite seeing old boy Folliot again.
Hello, boy. Congratulations on your little set to with Roly.
How'd you know about Roly?
Roly and Fisher, old boy, and the fellow with the high-necked sweater. Matter of fact, followed them here to London.
I see. Then you believe me now about Van Meer?
Oh, of course. I'd suggest we work along from here together, old boy. First thing I'd suggest after that would be that you kidnap Fisher's daughter.
What?
Well, all right, old boy, no offense. But if you give me a chance to bear down on Fisher, he dotes on her, you know. Maybe he'd talk and tell us where Van Meer is.
Hey, who are you, anyway? I mean, what are you?
British subject, old boy, patriot and all that. My country's on the verge of war.
I see. Okay, pal, I'll kidnap Carol. That is, I'll go through the motions. Where will I take her?
Take her to Cambridge. I'll get you digs at the College Arms.
Oh, wait, now, what happens after you get Fisher talking?
I'll phone you, old boy, and let you in on the kill.
It's a deal.
Johnny, what's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing. I'm just relaxing here in the College Arms.
That'd be nice. I'll send you back to your own room without supper.
Okay. Look, Carol, we got to talk. There's something hanging over our heads, and before it falls, I want you to know that no matter what happens, I...
Johnny, what's wrong with you? What are you talking about?
Wait. Hello?
Oh, hello, boy. This is me.
Oh, yes, yes. What happened?
Fisher's gone. Our people found out where he went. Take this down. 242 Charlotte Street, Tottenham Court Road.
242 Charlotte Street, Tottenham Court Road.
I think you'd better get there as fast as possible. I think that's where they have Van Meer, right?
Check.
What is it?
Carol, I've got to go back to London fast. I want you to stay here until I come for you.
Oh, no, you don't. I sense trouble. And I'm not letting you out of my sight.
I'm not going to try and talk you out of it, but I remember this. No matter what happens, I love you, darling, with all my heart.
Van Meer.
There he is.
Those lights in his face. Can't you cut them down?
Yes, cut them. Thank you. Thank you very much. You are like my friend, Mr. Fisher. I am so sorry. It is so dark. I cannot tell. But you are like my friend.
I am Fisher, Mr. Van Meer. I am your friend.
I am so glad. How did you get here? Am I going away now? Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Thank you. Are the police here? They mustn't get away. You mustn't let these people go.
Pardon me, gentlemen. I represent the Jupiter Life Assurance Company. Can I interest you in a small policy?
Did you have to bring him up here?
I didn't know what to do. He tried to get away.
You mustn't blame him, Croak. He's nervous and he had a pistol in my back. I came easy. But go right ahead, gentlemen. Don't mind me. I'll sit right down here.
What is that? Is it the police? Tell me where I am.
You're in London, Mr. Van Meer. These people think I'm working with them. You and I must play a little game.
A little game?
Yes. They want you to tell me something. Just one little clause in the treaty. Clause 27. Clause 27. Come, Mr. Van Meer.
But it's the secret clause. I know. Clause 27. But they mustn't know it. It would help them if they make war. War. You don't want them help, do you?
Don't tell him anything, Mr. Van Meer. He's not your friend.
Who was that? You are not my friend. Oh, I see, I see. You cried peace. Peace, and there was no peace.
You very liar, Fisher. A cruel, cruel lie. I will never talk. Do what you want with me.
Well, it's useless. Better try your methods, Krug.
Bring him over here.
No, no, no. No, Walter. I talk.
Then talk.
Oh. In the event of invasion by an enemy power, Her Majesty's government solemnly pledges you.
Steady, Van Meer. Steady. I shall forget him.
A number, but it's a restaurant.
And Doc.
Folliot wouldn't kid me. This must be the place.
I say, sir, are you Mr. Jones?
Yes. Why?
Mr. Folliot said we would expect you, sir. We shall get a signal from Mr. Folliot any moment now, sir.
Say, what is this? Who are you and who is Folliot?
Sorry, sir, but Mr. Folliot will explain. That is, if Mr. Folliot is still alive. There it is, sir, the signal.
Stay here, Carl.
No, my father is in there, too. I heard what Scott Folliot said to you on the phone. I'm coming.
Come on, sir. We're closing in.
Carol, you're not coming. Darling, I love you, but I've got to do this.
Right into my arms.
I had to do it. Had to sock a holder. I'm going in.
We're trapped.
Yes, old boy, you are, to put it in so many words.
No, I've got to get out of here.
Too late, the place is surrounded.
Then this man must die before they get here.
What about us?
You will pay the price your country asks. The work is not finished. I must go on.
Very well. Sorry, Folliot. This is war.
Think nothing of it, old boy. Go ahead and shoot. I'd feel silly if I were you, Krug, taking the rap, holding the sack, as it were, for Fisher. He wants to sell out, so as his daughter won't find out, he's been a Nazi spy.
So the daughter, eh?
Do as you're told. That's an order, Krug.
Why should we die and let you get away because your daughter doesn't know about you? I have a daughter, too, in the homeland.
Shoot, you fool. Quickly.
Yeah, I shoot.
Stand where you are, all of you. Drop those guns. Folliot, you all right?
Hello, old boy. Mighty happy to see you.
Fisher. Been shot.
Yes, old boy. I talked Krug into it.
He's dead.
Yes. Take those people away.
Van Meer.
He's just barely alive. But he didn't give us away on that treaty.
Was Fisher really...
Yes. He was in charge of those Nazis.
Carol?
Oh, innocent old boy. Doesn't know a thing.
What am I going to tell her?
Fisher was a Nazi, though only half German. She's all English, old boy. You could tell her... So her father came here to talk to Van Meer and was trapped.
That true?
Well, yes, old boy. Only it was we who trapped them.
And who are we?
British intelligence, old boy. Better get a cable. Get to a cable office. You have a whale of a story for your paper.
Yeah, and a whale of a story to tell Carol, too, old boy. So, darling. Your father must have found out that they were keeping Van Meer a prisoner there and torturing him, trying to get him to tell what was in the secret treaty. Father went there and Krug killed him before we could break down the door.
Goodbye, Johnny. I love you. I shall always love you. Now, goodbye.
What are you talking about? Goodbye.
I know you love me, too. That's why you're lying to me. My father was a Nazi agent, and he was shot by Krug, his subordinate.
But you didn't know your father was...
No, I didn't. Not until he hired that man to try to kill you. Then I began to suspect. When I heard Folliot call you at Cambridge, I knew.
That's why you came with me.
Yes. I was going to try and talk you out of going in there. I was going to try and make you go back to America before... Oh, you knew.
I am going back to America.
Oh. Oh, yes, of course.
I'm going back with my wife.
Johnny.
Carol. Carol, my darling. You couldn't possibly help what your father was or did. Come on. I've got the tickets and we'll start all over again back in America.
No, Johnny, no. Killing is just beginning. England is at war tonight. And I'm going to stay and help make up to her some of the things my father did against her. After the war, if we're still alive, don't I? Come back to England and ask me again to be your wife.
I see. I guess I see. All right, darling. I'll be getting along on my boat.
Until tomorrow, Johnny. Whenever that will be.
Yes, darling. Until whenever that'll be.
Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award, starring Olivia de Havilland and Jean-Pierre Omar in Hold Back the Dark.
The Academy Award Theater on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 24th of July, 1946 on CBS. Though the film was a hit in theaters and was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, the committee handed out trophies to what are now considered to be classic films like The Westerner, The Philadelphia Story with Jimmy Stewart, The Grapes of Wrath with Henry Fonda, and Alfred Hitchcock's only win for Best Picture for Rebecca. This is an hour of adventure on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for The Man Called X with Herbert Marshall as star, an NBC broadcast from February 12th, 1952.
Present Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X, the Friday night feature on NBC's five-show festival of comedy, music, mystery, and drama. Brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, always milder, better tasting, cooler smoking, plus no unpleasant aftertaste. Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X.
Began in a dank green world of fetid, rotting vegetation, a world of oppressive heat, of loathsome insects, and of even more loathsome disease. Strange, but that should have been the setting for a silent, deadly battle for the souls and minds of men. Dr. Merritt's been murdered.
That's right, Ken. Sorry to hit you with news like that about an old friend on your first day back from Calcutta.
Where did that happen, Chief?
In a little village called Belterra, up the Amazon River in Brazil.
What was he doing there? Establishing a new medical clinic?
Yeah. You knew, of course, that he was working with the Institute of Inter-American Affairs, cooperating with the Brazilian government.
Yeah. Trying to stamp out disease, malnutrition. So somebody killed him. Chief, it's an old pattern. We've been running into it all over the Americas. Wherever we're getting strategic materials. And it's not coincidence.
Do you think Dr. Maddox's death is tied up with a plan to sabotage our defense effort?
What do you think?
Maybe you're right, Ken. After all, rubber is a pretty vital material these days.
So are human lives. Oh, well, you'll hear from me, Chief. From Brazil.
Lucky you got here when you did, Mrs. Thurston. The boat going upriver to Belterra is ready to leave.
A pretty sudden trip for you, isn't it, Dr. Northrup? I understood you were scheduled for a return to the States.
I was, but they had to have a replacement for Dr. Maddock in a hurry. I'd been his assistant, was familiar with the territory.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
One of the few things about this affair that does. Look, Thurston, I'm going to be frank. Brazilian government. So I'm taking you along with me. But I don't like any part of it.
Why don't you?
Because there's liable to be trouble in the Amazon. The native rubber workers aren't very happy with North Americans right now. Somebody could get hurt.
Well, you sound pretty solicitous about my welfare.
I don't give a hang about your welfare, but I do care about those poor devils in the jungle, hag-ridden for centuries by disease and malnutrition. There's a full-time, 24-hour-a-day job waiting for me in Belterra as a doctor. I won't have any time to play wet nurse to you.
Why not wait until you're asked?
Sometimes a man facing a gun doesn't have time to ask.
Is that a threat or a warning?
Let's call it a statement of fact. There's the riverboat. Are you still coming with me?
After the fascinating picture you painted, how could I turn back now?
Okay, Thurston. Let's get aboard. I'll let the captain know we're ready to shove off. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks.
Hello, Mr. Thurston.
What? Welcome on board, my amigo friend. I bet you're happy to see me here, eh, Mr. Ames?
Maison, what are you doing here?
Well, naturally, when I heard that your old friend Dr. Marek got himself bumped out, I just had to offer my sympathy.
So you called the bureau and conned Miss Brooks into telling you where I was going.
Well, can I help it if she likes my ass?
Okay. But this trip, you're on your own.
Oh, sure.
And all expenses, including burial, come out of your own pocket.
Well, Natch, believe me, Mr. Thurston, I'll be happy to pay for my own burial.
Yeah. The natives up the river are shrinking heads again.
They are?
Might be interesting to see how yours turns out. Come to think of it, it might be an improvement.
Well, thank you, Mr.
See you around, Pedro.
Oh, sure. I'll see shrunken heads. See how mine turns out. Might be an improvement. Oh, Mr. Rex!
There's our clinic, Thurston.
Everything seems peaceful enough right now, Northrop.
Oh, sure it does. Hey, maybe there won't be no trouble over here after all, eh, Mr. Thurston?
The Amazon jungle doesn't announce its deadliness, Zeltschmidt.
It doesn't?
Rhea could be dead inside there, and the setting would be just as serene.
That's a cheerful thought. Who is Maria?
Maria Costello. She was Dr. Maddox's nurse.
And she's been up here alone ever since Maddox was killed?
Maria has a way with the natives. Unfortunately, the same doesn't hold true for you.
Hey, what about me? Not even my Uncle Ahmed isn't here.
That's from the clinic. Come on.
Be right with you, Mr. Thurston, as soon as I find my shoelaces. No, I will not let you kill my filho. My baby. I will kill you all first. Kill you all.
That is nonsense, Luis. We are not trying to hurt your son. Only to keep him from dying.
Maria, what is going on here? What were those shots? Vilas.
No, Dr. Northrop. It was not I. Our old friend Luis was a bit upset. I had to take his gun away from him.
There are other pistolas, Senor Vilas. You cannot take them all. If my baby dies, you all die. You understand? You all die.
Sounds like he meant that.
I can assure you that he did, Senor.
My name's Ken Thurston.
Thurston, this is Ferdinand Vilas, manager of the rubber plantation.
Senor?
And this is Maria Costello, my nurse.
Senor Thurston?
Did we always find the practice of medicine here as exciting as this, Senorita Costello?
Oh, I cannot understand it. His wife brought their infant child here. He was due for his smallpox vaccination. And then Luis broke in with a gun, threatened to kill me if I even touched the child.
But you've certainly vaccinated children here before.
Hundreds of them.
Well, then what's the explanation for this?
The natives here have developed a great distrust of all Americanos del Norte, Senor Thurston. They say that they are bringing death to the Amazon. Death with their shiny medicinal needles.
That's superstitious nonsense, Vilas. Where are the mother and child now, Maria?
In the examining room, Doctor. It is really most urgent that I vaccinate the child. A smallpox epidemic has broken out upriver.
All right, Maria. Take care of it at once.
Very well, Dr. Northrop.
I do not think that was very wise, Dr. Northrop.
Oh?
Why not, Senor Vilas? You superstitious, too?
Merely realistic. Luis is the head man of the village. If anything should happen to his child, I'm afraid there will be a great deal of danger to all of us.
Hello, Maria.
Huh? Oh, it is you, Senor Thurston.
You mind if I share the riverbank with you?
Please do.
Thanks. You seem a little tired tonight. Too much work at the clinic?
Oh, no, Senor. The work, I love it. It was this afternoon, I think, that upset me.
Oh, that's understandable.
Oh, but that is just the point, Senor. It is not understandable.
Oh, why not?
The natives were never like this before. Sullen, hostile, threatening. They worship Dr. Maddox.
What caused the change, Maria? His murder?
Are you certain you do not know, Senor X?
Well, I didn't realize Pagan was getting around that fast.
Oh, you mean the strange little man who came upriver with you? No. No, he did not tell me. It was Dr. Maddox.
Dr. Maddox?
Yes. The night before he was killed, he spoke to me about you. He said that you were the only man he knew who could handle the situation down here, and that he was going to write to you concerning it.
That's all he said?
That was all. But I will make a guess as to what he had in mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Someone is stirring up the trouble among the natives. Someone who is interested in preventing rubber from reaching the United States. Someone who wishes to turn the Americas against each other for the benefit of his own country.
Who is he, Maria?
I do not know.
Hmm. Do you have any other guess?
Mr. Preston, for you, Mr. Preston.
It is late, Senor. And I'm tired.
Mr. Preston, are you out here somewhere?
That's all you have to say, Maria?
That is all.
Preston, are you... Oh, there you are. I was wondering... Oh, hello, baby.
Good night, Senor Thurston. Ate a vista.
Hey, what's your hurry, baby? Why don't you stick around a while and... How do you like that? A brush up. After the way she went for me in Lisbon.
Lisbon?
Oh, sure. I ran into her during the war. Boy, she knew more military secrets. A regular hot and marry.
Is that you, Senor Thurston?
That's right, yes. I thought you'd gone back to the rubber plantation.
No. I wish to speak with you first.
About what?
Northrop tells me you came here with papers from the Brazilian government. Is that true?
Go on.
Someone in authority must persuade Maria and Northrop that their tactics with the natives will lead only to disaster. They are antagonizing the natives. The incident of the baby this afternoon is a case in point.
Oh, somebody's got a cart before a horse, dealer. The natives were worked up before this afternoon. Before Dr. Merrick's murder.
That is unimportant.
Is it?
What matters is that they are worked up. To such a pitch that the slightest spark will bring about an explosion. And if anything happens to that baby of Luis, believe me, Senor Thurston, our lives will not be worth it.
Senor.
Came from that hut. Come on.
But that is Dr. Northrop's hut.
Yeah.
There he is, Senor. A wound in the shoulder.
Northrop, what happened?
That devil, Luis Mendoza, shot me.
Luis? You are certain?
I saw him clearly enough.
He gave no warning, did not say why?
No, nothing.
You're wrong, Northrop. He did tell you why. Look. Here beside the door.
Madre de Dios.
What is it, Felix? Felix, what are you staring at?
Luis Mendoza's baby. Dead.
Ken Thurston is in a small native village far up the Amazon River, trying to determine the motive behind the murder of Dr. Maddock. But even more sinister than the surrounding jungle are the unseen forces at work there, fomenting hatred against the United States, threatening to disrupt the rubber production, plotting a native uprising that will mean death to all the foreign devils who have trespassed there. It is now some 15 minutes after the attack on Dr. Northrop and the discovery of the dead native baby.
But it is not possible, senores. I tell you, that smallpox vaccine could not have killed that child.
That's not entirely true, Maria. But there's always the remote possibility of faulty body chemistry, lack of normal antibodies.
I think you are being very professional, very scientific, and completely unrealistic about the entire situation, my friends.
You mean the attack on Northrop? And what's liable to follow?
But of course, that attack was a warning that the natives are rising against us. That is what matters, not how the baby died.
You're wrong, Vilas.
Wrong? How can you doubt that we are all in danger now?
I don't. And the way the baby died proves it.
What kind of double talk is that, Thurston?
Did you or Maria examine the child's body?
No. We were too busy with my shoulder.
You should have. The vaccine wasn't the cause of death. It was botulism.
Botulism?
Yeah. The deadliest kind of food poisoning.
But that is not possible, Senor Thurston. The child had not been weaned. A breastfed child could not possibly have died from botulism. Unless...
That's right, Maria. Unless it was deliberately poisoned.
Look, Mr. X. Why do we have to go sightseeing in a rubber plantation at this time of night anyways?
Your idea to come along with me, Pagon. Go on back alone if you don't like it.
I don't like that idea even better. Listen to those natives in that compound over there. I'll bet they're already arguing about who's going to get my head for their mantelpiece.
Could be.
Ooh. Hey, what's this place?
The Rubber Plantation Laboratory. Phyllis gave me the key. Let's go in.
What are we looking for here, anyways?
Felix told me he'd turn part of this lab over to the clinic. Northrop using it until they get their own built.
So what?
Look here.
You mean those funny glass bottles with that stuff inside?
That stuff happens to be cultures. This one looks like rabbit's blood. This? Yeah, probably based on a... Beef broth.
Beef broth. Very interesting. So let's get out of here now before somebody comes in and looking for heads or something.
Okay, there's a plantation speedboat over at the dock. Take it downriver to the clinic of Monte Alegre. I'll give you a list of things to pick up and bring back here.
Believe me, I'm practically there already. You know, Sura? Huh? Bring some stuff back.
That's right.
Oh, what a joke. I wouldn't come back for a million bucks.
How about 50?
I'll take it.
You must be crazy, Thurston, letting Zell Smith take that speedboat. Those natives are liable to move against us at any time.
Dr. Northrop is right. You have taken away our only means of escaping from here.
Looks like it, Vilas, doesn't it?
Why are you so casual about the situation, Senor Thurston? What did you learn at the laboratory earlier this evening?
Don't you know, Maria?
How could I?
Well, maybe the same way you learned I was there. When only Vilas knew I was joined. Or is there another answer?
Have you thought of the obvious one, Senor? That I followed you there to learn for myself what is going on?
I thought of it.
What the devil does all this talk about the laboratory? What's that got to do with the spot we're in?
Everything, Northrop. I learned that we're not in a spot. Unless someone in this room wants us to be.
That is a rather strange statement to make, Senor Thurston.
Is it? Somebody murdered Dr. Maddox, then poisoned that little child. To stir up those natives. Now, why?
Why? There is no answer. None of it makes any sense.
No. No, that is not so, Dr. Northrop. There are some very obvious answers. To stop the production of rubber, turn natural allies against one another. Now I see what you mean, Senor Thurston. Only one of us could have had the opportunity to do all these things.
That's right, Vilas.
I can't believe it. You two are actually serious about all this.
Of course they are serious, Doctor. But they have left one thing unsaid. The name of the person who is responsible. Just who do you have in mind, Senor Thurston?
Suppose the three of you work it over for a while. Oh, and let me know how you come out, will you? I'm going to get some sleep. for someone.
Diablo!
That knife. Let me make one.
Drop it.
That's better. Now, suppose you tell me who...
What's that? You all right, Thurston?
No, sir.
I hope I didn't pick you. I had to snap him off in that split second when you shoved him away.
Why?
Why? Well, for Pete's sake, man. He was trying to kill you.
After he dropped the knife?
But he was Luis Mendoza's brother. He was after you to avenge the baby's death.
Oh, you're having a little trouble making a diagnosis tonight, Northrop. If he was after someone because of that, he'd have gone for you or Maria, not me.
But there must have been some reason for his attack on you.
Sure. Someone ordered him to kill me.
Someone ordered him to... But who?
I might have found out, Northrop. You hadn't been so fast on the trigger. You brought the stuff back with you?
Oh, sure, sure. So pay me off and let me get out of here, will you, please? Believe me, I'm a sick man. And the longer I'm here, the sicker I get.
Then you better come along to the clinic, Faison. I think I would got a cure for what ails you. Somewhere, Dr. Northrop?
It's you, Thurston. We're leaving. Zelsmith came back with that speedboat just in time.
The natives?
That is right, senor. I have learned that they intend to strike here at the clinic just before dawn.
Oh, I wonder how we'll make out.
What do you mean, make out? We will not be here then.
I wouldn't be too sure, Maria. Take a look at Pagan, will you, Northrop?
Zelsmith? Why, of course.
Hey, why do you want him to look at me for? There's nothing wrong with me that a quick trip to Rio won't fix up.
I'm afraid you're wrong, Zelschnitz.
Huh? You mean I got something?
Smallpox.
Smallpox? Oh, no.
That's what I thought. Thought the stones that trip downriver, doesn't it?
Looks like it. I can't risk anyone else being exposed to him. We'll have to stay here until the infectious state is over.
But we cannot do that, Doctor. The natives...
Sorry, Maria. There's no other answer.
Perhaps there is, Senor Thurston. Allow me to remain here with him while the three of you go downriver.
I didn't know you were such a self-sacrificing creature, Vilas.
I am not. Merely realistic. After all, the responsibility of the plantations and the inhabitants of Belterra is mine.
Suppose we let Maria go and the rest of us stick around. How about it, Maria? Do you know how to run the speedboat?
I am more familiar with administering smallpox vaccines, Senor Thurston. And I believe Dr. Northrop is about to prescribe vaccinations for all of us here. I would say.
Okay. At least we'll have the satisfaction of knowing that we won't die of smallpox.
No! Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Quiet, you idiot. It doesn't hurt.
All right, Venus, you're next. The rest of us are through.
If you do not mind, I will forego the pleasure.
There's no time to waste joking, Venus.
He's not joking, Northrop.
What?
You are right, sir. As a realistic man, I have a very healthy fear of Bacillus botulinus.
Of course.
Bacillus who?
Botulism. What the baby died of?
Yes, Maria. And what all of you are about to die from very shortly.
Oh, what does he mean? What does he mean?
Remember those beakers we saw in the lab, Tagon? With the rabbit's blood, beet broth? Well, our pal Vilas was cultivating death in them. Bacillus botulinus.
The vaccine. We gave it to the baby and he died of botulism. Vilas must have introduced the culture into all the vaccines.
Sure. He was doing a pretty good job for the country that was paying him. Stirring up anti-American feeling. Sabotaging the rubber plant production.
Vilas.
But why did you kill Dr. Maddock? Because he was on to you?
Yes, this is quite right, sir. I am certain you will all excuse me now if I leave. I cannot bear the sight of suffering. And they tell me that death from botulism is quite painful. Goodbye, comrade.
Senor Thurston, we're going to die. We're going to die.
Okay, don't be that. You haven't got smallpox. And there's nothing wrong with that vaccine.
Josie Christ, the government. Huh? No, nothing wrong.
I cooked up the smallpox diagnosis of Northrop just to trap Venus.
But the vaccine, Senor Thurston.
Fresh, untampered stuff. That's why I sent Pagon to Monte Alegre. He brought it back with him.
It worked out as you figured, Thurston. I'll hand it to you for that. But what about Vilas? He's getting away.
I don't think so, Nelson. I had Luis Mendoza listening at the window. He heard enough to learn the truth. He'll take care of Vilas.
Oh.
You know, Vilas said he was being realistic. But he wasn't. He was living a bad dream. A nightmare of terror and conquest and murder. The only thing realistic about it...
Mr. Rex.
Yes. Come on, Pedro.
Now, here again is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And my thanks to B. Benaderet, Will Wright, Carlton Young, Harry Bartell, and Byron Kane. Next week, Vienna, where an ex-wrestler, a beautiful girl, and a spot of printer's ink all add up to real trouble for Ken. And, of course, where there's real trouble, there'll always be Leon Delesque with Pagon Zellschmidt. So join us, won't you, where next I return as the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, untuned to yesterday from the 12th of February, 1952 on NBC. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.